Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Tell Me Your Tales podcast. This is the season finale, the last episode of the Road to Berlin podcast. Well, it's probably not the last episode. We'll probably do something post-race, but this is the final conversation that we record on Skype in the lead-up to the big event. We recorded this last Thursday night before we all flew out, so there's not a lot of weekly recap as it was only Thursday, but you know, I think we still got an hour's conversation out here, so I hope you enjoy it. Talking about flying out, I had an absolute shocker. I got delayed in Melbourne, which meant I missed my connecting flight in Doha to Berlin and spent ages getting here. Actually went via Kuwait. Didn't even know where Kuwait was before I flew through it and stopped there to pick up some Army, US Army guys on Saturday night. Big trip. Ticked off Frankfurt, but I finally got to Berlin after about 52 hours of travel. All good though, all out of my control, so I didn't waste much energy worrying or stressing about it. Okay, let's get back to the show. This is it. It's blown my mind just how many people have downloaded this show each week. It was a crazy idea that I had when I was out running one day, and after having Brad and Julian both on as past guests and knowing how well they spoke and how well they presented themselves, and I knew that we were all running Berlin, I just thought it might have been a bit of an idea to get them on. And when I presented it to them, they were both more than happy to come on and have a chat about their lead-ups, which isn't something a lot of people like to do. So, it was good that we'd be, that we were honest and we were willing to share so much of our training to the world. As I said in the very first episode that we did this, we weren't really sure if anyone would like it and take any value from it, and originally we had the plan to just do it as a fortnight show. So when Julian and Brad both signed up to it, they both were agreeing to fortnightly shows, so I think we're all planning to do about 6 episodes. And with all the positive comments and with all that happens in our training week and, you know, all the positive feedback that come from you guys and girls out there, it made it fun to do this show once a week. The dynamics between us, I think, is something we've got perfect. And even when we had Josh Harris on the show last week, after recording, he commented on how we bounce off each other so well and just how we probably present 3 really different points of views on running, but when you put those 3 views together, it comes off quite well in a podcast. That was something we probably fluked a bit. I wasn't sure how we'd bounce off each other, but the relationship and the way we present our thoughts is something that I think is very valuable to the show. Recording this show on a Monday night with the boys has been a highlight of my week for the last 15 weeks. We've had the girls show also, which means we recorded 17 episodes, which was over 23 hours worth of content. On that note, we've done it all for free. We spent time away from our families, our jobs, and Game of Thrones sometimes, because I think we all have a genuine love for our sport of distance running and the passion and motivation and drive to get the best out of ourselves and reach our potential when it comes to a marathon. So obviously, you know, I think we get caught up in the world and we think everything's got to be worth money and, you know, do stuff for a bigger reason. But for us, it's just been good to get on the microphones and just present our thoughts about running and just make it really genuine. We've been stoked to be able to put this show together to Brad and Julian. I'm super grateful that they've gave up so much of their time for this idea I had. The way they both present themselves in the show is exactly who they are in person, so there's nothing fake about anything they've said. They've been so open and really opened up their lives to the public all over the world, and have been so honest and genuine with their responses to running and just what's going on in their life in general. I'll probably miss Julian not having a crack at me in some way or another each week and picking my training apart. It's been fun, the banter we've had over the last couple of weeks with Brad as well, with the banter. But, you know, Julian's insights as the wise man that he has been around running has been very valuable. And I must admit that I didn't actually realise he had so much knowledge about running before we started this series. I'm really grateful that he's been able to give me a bit of constructive criticism with my training and made me really think about the way I approach running. And it's been great with me and him to be able to pass and kind of bounce off ideas with my training. And also I've asked him a few questions about the training for a couple of athletes I coach. And yeah, it's been good just to have that other pair of eyes and thoughts to think about your training. And yeah, I hope this Sunday, come race day, that we both have ripping runs and run awesome times. Over to Brad. I guess for Brad to be so open and honest around his injury is a great indication that the person he is. I'm not sure if I was in his shoes, I'd do the same thing and come on a podcast each week to talk about a major race I couldn't do seriously due to an injury that I got. But I think injury is something that every runner can relate to, and his insights into his injury have been very valuable, and I'm sure many people have got a lot from the stories and the insights that he shared around his injury. To Bree, Viv and Carly, they've all come on the show at one stage or another and given us insights into their training, preparation and experiences in and into the lead up to the Berlin Marathon, which was great. More importantly though, a big thank you to all those three females for giving up their husbands and partners every Monday night to sit on Skype and talk about running. We're all very, very busy people, and I'm sure the two other boys would agree that without the support of our partners, this show just wouldn't have happened. Finally, to you guys, the listeners, for one reason or another, you've found value in this show, and I know every listener out there isn't a diehard runner, and the fact that people sometimes don't know a lot about running and download this show each week to have a bit of a check-in to see how we're going is very humbling, I guess. The numbers of downloads and where they are in the world honestly blows me away. This podcasting world is pretty amazing. To think that we can produce a kind of reality podcast running show each week and so many people find value in it makes me very humbled and proud to put it together each week. To all the people that have taken out 2 minutes of their time to leave a review on iTunes, thank you very much. That helps the show be more visible on the iTunes store and for more people to come across it. And to the people that have taken time to shoot me an email at bradytrelfall@gmail.com and just leave positive feedback and kind of let us a bit know about how you found the show and what you get out of it, I must say a massive thanks. I copy and paste those emails and send them to the boys, and it's really heartfelt. It's very genuine what people write in, and that it just makes it, makes it all just worth putting together. Not that we wouldn't put it together if we didn't get those emails, but to understand that we're having an impact in other people's lives is a very, good feeling to have, and it makes me very proud. To the people who have shared the show on social media and tried to spread the show that way, thank you very much. And for people who have written in listener questions and kind of given us something to talk about each week, thanks also to that. If you could give this one big last share on social media or leave me some feedback, that would be really appreciated. Rightio, that was a huge introduction, and it's actually the first one that I've written notes for. I'm sure you could probably tell in my voice that at stages I was kind of reading a few little dot points there to kind of get me back on track, but I thought it was really important that I addressed and thanked a few people before we put this last show out there. We needed to get that out of the way. Okay, for the last time, enjoy this episode before the race, the road to Berlin Marathon. Cheers, guys. That's all smooth. Smooth, smooth, smooth. Rightio, you ready to get rolling?
Yep.
I banged a bit of stuff on that Google Doc if you want to have a geez of it, but it's all pretty pre-race kind of stuff we'll talk about tonight. Should be good. Give me 2 seconds.
Also, I have a pizza delivery that's going to arrive during this. So just be prepared for that.
I had pizza tonight as well.
Yeah.
Pizza. You were saving the pizza till Italy.
Made my own.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm not a tight ass. I can buy it.
I'm trying to watch my weight because I'm not running.
Oh, well, so pizza at home is better, is it?
Yeah, because you can put all good shit on it.
Yeah, you know the ingredients.
It's still a pizza.
Nah. Let the listeners vote.
Yeah. All right, I'll keep that in there because I did have it rolling, so I'll be right. Listener feedback. All right, let's do it, fellas. This is the last time that we'll record one of those episodes on Australian soil. The next time the listeners will hear from us will be after the race. Thanks for joining me again.
No worries. You all packed? Yes,
good.
Yeah, I'm packed. Hey, what about gels? Can you put gels in carry-on or is it too much liquid?
Nah, you think you'll be fine.
I'll be right. Yeah, that's the only thing I was waiting to talk to you boys about that. But yeah, I'm packed, got my passport, few things to put in the morning. But other than that, I'm all good. What about you boys, started?
Yeah, stuff's out on the bed.
Yeah. I don't leave till Sunday, so I'm good.
You got plenty of time. Yeah. I'm plenty just making of time. So passport and 4%ers, they're the only two things I really need to be taking, I reckon. Everything else I can buy over there.
That's true.
That's very true. Righty-o, let's get into it. Some good news today for the show. It was good to see Brad putting up a pretty decent run on Strava today. So just to let the listeners know, we're recording this on Thursday, but we'll release it the week of Berlin just so we don't have to, you know, record on foreign Wi-Fi and edit a show the week before the big race. So this is Thursday and big day for Brad, knocking out a pretty decent run, and Julian got some good news about a start line. Do you want to go over to you first, Brad?
Yep, so I've actually been running, well, today will be my third day that I've run in a row, which has been the most since I stopped running sort of 5 or 6 weeks ago. So I got through 45 minutes on Monday pain-free and an hour on Wednesday. That was pain-free as well. It didn't feel very good running. I was just really locked through the hips, but no Achilles pain, so can't complain. And then I was scheduled for a cortisone injection today, being Thursday, and I guess running pain-free Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm about cancelling it just because I'm like, well, do I really need a cortisone around the Achilles if I'm running pain-free? But spoke to my coach and a few close running mates and my soft tissue therapist, and they said, just get it. You know, it's been going on for so long, and you're about to head away for 5 weeks. So that brings me to today's run, and I didn't plan on running hard, but I sort of just got moving and felt a bit better than I had the last couple of days. And from about, I don't know, 10 kilometres in, I decided to sort of just throw a bit of tempo in. So from 10 to 16K, I think I was sort of running 3:30s. And I was saying to Brady before on air that cardio, I felt pretty good. It was more that it was my legs. I just had probably lost a bit of conditioning and a bit of strength. So I just felt like, you know, I was sort of the back end of a half marathon after sort of a 6K tempo. But it was, you know, it was positive to be able to run. I think I did 16.8K in 65 minutes. So it was like 350, low 350 average. But if I was coaching somebody, I'd be pretty annoyed at them because I wouldn't have suggested to do that a couple of days back after having missed 5 weeks with an Achilles issue. So that was first thing this morning. And then I ended up going through and having the cortisone at 9:30 this morning. And I figure as well, I knew by having the cortisone, I was going to have, you know, 4 or 5 days off. So I thought, oh, well, I'll run a little bit harder knowing I'll be having some time off now. So yeah, had the cortisone, and that's me now until we get to Europe. I'll probably run Monday or Tuesday in Prague, and then hopefully sort of just run most days from there on in.
Yeah, right. Good. Yeah, got a cool course record on Strava too.
Oh, yeah, just running down a hill. No one ever runs down there, so it was easy.
You knew it.
I didn't even know.
That's where he started the tempo.
No, I didn't know it was there, seriously.
That's good. So good. So packing the running gear, and what are your hopes for Berlin?
It'll still just be a run. So I reckon halfway, maybe 25K, but not hard. I just think there's too much at stake to, I guess now my focus is BWA. So there's just no point risking anything. I want to get back from Europe in 6 weeks time in one piece, clocking maybe 100 to 120K a week, but in a position where I can then start to get back into decent training. And, you know, running a hard 10 or 15K in Berlin is not going to achieve anything. So I just got to be patient and just think long term. The only thing I really want out of Berlin is that race bib, just because it sounds a bit corny, but I'm definitely going to put it up on my wall, just as a reminder of, you know, a few things, actually. One, that this prep didn't go well, and so next time when I feel like I'm maybe pushing the envelope, every morning I get out of bed and look on the wall and see the Berlin bib. It's just a reminder of patience, consistency, and not pushing it. So that's what I want out of Berlin.
Very wise words. What number are you? You're like 120 or something, aren't you?
134, I think.
134. Yeah. That's good. So you'll be still towing on the line, the sub-elite line with the good Kenyans and Africans and all that stuff, and then, go for a Sunday stroll.
Well, that'll be a good experience in itself, assuming I'm still in the sub-elite group. Like, to be sort of standing sort of behind those guys would be pretty cool. The only issue I'm having at the moment is, you know how we have to return the chips at the end? It's like, I'm not going to get to the end, and then I've got to sort of try and make my way back to the finish to return my chip.
Well, have you decided, are you going to pull out somewhere near your hotel? Is that how that's going to work?
So I had a look, and I think the 21K mark and the 37K mark are pretty close. So I thought I could run to 21 and then just duck across the road to 37K and watch the elite guys come through there. That would be pretty cool. And then maybe just go back to the 21K and watch Viv. And then, I don't know, maybe make my way to the end of the finish line so I can hand off the timing chip or head back to the hotel.
I did that last year. I went back to the hotel because I stayed at the same hotel that you're staying at this year. And then I walked down. It's only like 5 blocks to try and see Carly at the 35K mark, but didn't get her I just must have missed her by 5 minutes or something. But it's definitely doable. Just it's only a couple blocks down.
Yeah, and I'll have to see what Viv's parents are doing as well. They'll be over there on the day, so I'll try and meet up with them at some point.
Good thinking. Bit of logistics to work out there and stuff. Yeah, I reckon you can, that chip though, you should be able to just put in an envelope or something. Like, I reckon that'd happen all the time. People forget to hand them in.
Yeah, or I'll just give it to Viv. I might run a couple of kilometres with her and just give it to her to put in the thing when she finishes.
You wouldn't possibly pull out at like 20K or something and then get yourself to like 40K and jump back in with Viv, would you? With the bib still on and finish it off?
I don't know. We'll just see how the day pans out. But I know now that I will not be running 42 kilometres on that Sunday.
Yeah, you might officially, but not literally.
No.
Well,
could be something in there, I reckon.
Are they all connected to these races?
You could get a medal.
No, I don't want a medal.
Just jump in at 40K and just like finish it off. We'll see. We'll work on you. That's good. It's all positive. You're going in the right direction, and be good to go for a couple of runs in Prague, run around some castles and stuff.
Yeah, well, I think I'll only have one day to run there, really, because we're not there for very long. But I'm looking forward to doing a bit of running in Berlin.
Berlin,
and then all through Spain.
Yeah, good thinking. Good positive. Not that you weren't positive the whole way, but you're really sounding positive tonight, which is good.
Yeah, I'm sure race day will be sort of tough in a way, but if I feel like my body's in one piece and I can at least get out for a run on that day, then it'll put me in a good frame of mind. And as you boys know, it's more, you get disappointed if you can't do races, but it's more just getting out every day, just for your mental health, you know, just those endorphins that you get for going for a run. Like I'm such a happier person when I can do it. So I'll be happy on race day if I've run 21K.
Well, it's so much a part of our life. I was just driving home the other day and just thinking, like, you know, there wouldn't be many days I could count in the last 5 years where I haven't gone for a run after work. Like, you know, I'm probably talking 20 or 30 days that you haven't ran after work. So when you stop doing that, different things happen to your brain and your body and your mood. And yeah, it's a complete shock to the system in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Rightio, Julian, over to your week, I guess, a bit of a week report. And you want to kick us off with the good news you got on the email this morning?
Oh, yeah. Well, yesterday I got a message from Ali, who was told she wasn't going to get an elite start a few weeks back when she messaged. But then she told me the other day she was going to try again and send them another email. And from the experiences that we've all had with this process, I thought, oh, yeah, you have no chance. Asking nicely isn't going to work. And it worked. So she got upgraded to a sub-elite start. So she gets access to, like, the starting facilities, like the special area, the toilets, special drinks, all the good shit. And so she said that to me, and she goes, oh, just send them an email. Just see what they say. Be nice. And I thought, oh, yeah. She's already said no to me twice, I think. But I'll try again. And then I just got an email, like, I think it was an hour later or something, that said, yes, we'll upgrade you. And so there it is, starting with the big dogs.
No excuses now.
Yeah, that's right. That was going to be my best one too. I was like, drop a 3-minute K to catch the group. Race over.
has your number changed from 40,652?
Not so far. Oh, well, I haven't checked for a while, but Ali's seem to have changed, so I guess I'll get around to it.
Hers was like 45 or something, wasn't it? Like, hers was super low.
54, yeah, something like that. So she might be
right down.
Yeah, she might. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird that, like, she skipped the sub elite bit. It almost seems like that.
Mm.
What's she hoping to run?
She could run 235.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty good.
That's pretty shifting.
Any other year or any other generation in Australia, that for a ladies marathon would be very, very good.
She might pick up cash for that.
What for?
Like, she might go top 10. I reckon Cassie Feehan was like 6th or 7th or something last year with a similar... I think she ran like 2:32. Don't quote me on it. I'll Google it now. But, I reckon... I don't know how deep the women's field is after, like, the first 4 or 5 Kenyan girls.
Yeah, I got no idea either. But I'd imagine if it's like the men's this year, then it will be pretty deep.
Europeans and stuff as well, yeah. It's good she's travelling well.
She's ticking it off. I think when you spoke to her last, she was about to go to America to, like, follow her dad around on a motorbike trip or something. And she didn't get that much training in there because she was always up really high, like, 10,000. She was in the real mountains, so she was up at like 10,000 feet, 9,000 feet. So it was just—it's almost too high to train properly there. Mm. But she's going well. She really is. Like, she's nailed nearly everything. So she's a good marathoner too.
Yeah.
I think she'll run about 2:35. I think she'll be happy with less than that. But I think she could run that time.
Cassie Feehan was 8th last year in 2:37. She runs 2:35, she'll come 7th.
Well, yeah, let's just see. I mean, it
big payday for the coach, I reckon. 10%. She'll get 10 grand.
No.
Oh, it pays huge over there for the top 10 of these ones.
Well, all the way down to that.
Yeah, I think top 10 pays. Think about Launceston, 10K.
10 grand.
Yeah, isn't it 250,000? No, isn't 500,000 US for the win?
Oh, maybe I'll try harder.
Hey, go for it. Go with it. It'll be great.
Just a little bit more effort will get me there.
Go for your 5K PB through.
Oh, it'll be faster than my 5K PB.
She'll be shouting beers all night if she gets top 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, they might have 15 Kentons run 2:22.
Yeah, she'll probably just 10 grand US. She's going to be rolling in it.
Is that what it says?
No, well, I'm just guessing, but imagine how many beers she'll be able to share with that.
Yeah, we'll go to the Kit Kat Club with that.
Kit Kat Club, two doors down from your place.
Carsten knows about the Kit Kat Club.
Does he? As well.
Well, he told me about it. He said you'll see some interesting cats around that, and then I Googled it, and I'm like, oh, shit, we're staying next to the sex club.
Good. So how's the communication with Carsten been? Has he been helping you out a bit?
Well, he was, but I'm not, like, Carsten, not required that I have a special drinks table. So I think we're going to go for a run on the Saturday. We should all organise to go for a run and Brad, he runs too fast.
Yeah, he'll drop. That's probably why he's
injured all the time.
Yeah. That'll be my race day Saturday.
Tempo. Yeah.
Just go and burn us all. No, but we're going to go out to the airport, I think.
Good. I might mess emailing him, actually, because I get there. I'm going straight to Berlin, so I've got like a week to kill before the race. So he was injured the last time he emailed me, though. So is he all right? Do you know?
I guess he's been doing a little bit. I saw on Strava. But...
Oh, that's good. I'll look him up. I wouldn't mind running the last like 15 or 20K of the course just to get a bit familiar with it. So someone to take me around would be good.
Oh, yeah. I thought you did that last year.
Yeah, I did, but I can't remember any of it because I was in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
It wasn't much fun after 35 last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, tell us about your training for the week.
Just easy, except for yesterday. I went down to Vic Park again, and I had a meeting at 10, so I sort of had to get the session done before that. So... I wanted to try something slightly different. It wasn't that motivating to get out there and do some race pace stuff less than I've already done and like less distance and everything. So I went out and I did. The idea was to do 6 by 1500 at marathon pace, 500 kick down to threshold, and then go straight back to your marathon pace. So it was going to be a 12K workout. And you basically tick along, and then it almost like simulate getting a drink but missing it slightly, or a surge in the pack, or something that just sort of makes you uncomfortable and you have to regain your rhythm. And that was the idea behind the workout. And it was going quite well, except I ran the ons probably too fast, and I had trouble getting back to the marathon pace. Like I had trouble finding my rhythm again. So it'll be good for next marathon program. I think I'll do more workouts like that. But this one here, like I was a little bit all over the shop with the pacing. And I was feeling fine, but then this rain squall came in and it was really heavy, like freaking thunderstorm without the thunder. And it was super windy too. And I think it was the fifth rep, I just turned into it near where I had to pick the pace up for the 500, and it was like running into a brick wall, and I was starting to get real cold because when I started I put on a singlet and like basically my race gear, but by the end I was freezing and I was really wet, so I thought this is not happening today. Like this last rep is just silly. There's nothing to gain, everything to lose by staying out here. 2-degree weather, pouring rain. So I went back to the van and got changed. And I'm like, in the past, it probably would have annoyed me a little bit, but I just didn't really care, to be honest. I just thought, one rep, one 2K rep out of a whole program of training ain't going to make a difference.
Yeah, like really, nothing again. Crap weather, catch a cold.
Yeah. Yeah, and the wind wasn't even allowing me to do it. Like, the same effort for me to get to 320 would have been about 340s, and it was just shit. So what's the point?
You were dropping those five, like 304 average, 308, 306, 304. Like you're working pretty hard in those 500s.
Yeah, it was probably a little silly. Like, it's hard to judge how fast you are going when you're always, like, the last 8 weeks have all been about race pace for me and spending time at it. So to chuck some fast stuff in, it's like, oh, well, how fast is fast? Do I go harder than this, or is this too hard? And so I probably went a bit hard for the actual workout.
Yeah, that's good, though. You've kind of done some work for if someone drops a surge at a water station.
Yeah, if that Kenyan lady wants to take off on me, I'll just be on her ass again.
His man, you just practicing for Kibeti, just preparing.
Sucking off the back.
Yeah, just put in the surge. It's probably better than the girly surge I tried to do at Albert Park on you that day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Kibeti, I know what you've got. I know what it's in your arsenal.
You've got one 20-meter surge and that's it.
You won't be bluffing me anymore.
That's good. And you're going to do, so today's Thursday night, you're going to do something before you jump on the plane?
Yeah, I'm going to do a long run Saturday where I do some pace work at the end and then just an easy run Sunday morning and then run Monday night when I get to London.
Yeah. How long are you going to go?
How long on Saturday?
Yeah.
I was going to do an hour, so I got probably about 14, and then I'm going to chuck the shoes on and do about 7K at marathon pace.
Yeah.
So probably about sort of 20K.
Yeah. We might quickly just touch on taper after just towards the end there and just get your boys' thoughts on the way to approach a taper, because it's often a bit of conversation around that stuff. Yeah, rightio. So you'd be feeling all right? Feeling like freshening up a bit?
Not yet, probably. I'm still running twice a day at the moment. I haven't felt like if anything, I just feel like I need to do work like again. So you just get a little jittery. You're just like, oh. Kind of feel like I need to do a bigger workout just to feel like yourself again. But that's just normal, I think, for this time of the program.
It's something about kind of letting go of that hard work and grinding big sessions out. It kind of just starts to do your head in a bit. Like when you've got to do them, it does your head in. But then when you know you can't do any more because it's close to race day, it just kind of makes you a bit jittery, I reckon.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm feeling right now, actually. You kind of nailed that, I reckon.
Yeah. That's good. I'll just flick through my 4 days and then we'll get onto these couple of topics and then we'll wrap it up for the final time before the race, I reckon. For me, what do I do? Just give me 2 seconds, I'll get this up. I did 12K on Monday night, just down at the old Jono's Run Community Run, which was good. They kind of presented me with a card and I was a bit unexpected and a bit of a good luck kind of a couple of kids with some posters and stuff like that. It was quite, got me by surprise, but that was good. We've been kind of training down there each Monday for ages now, so it was good to kind of have one last run with that crew again, which was good fun. Feeling pretty good, kind of a bit of a slower pace. It's kind of 4:40s, which is nice for me. I do a bit run, most of my stuff kind of like 4:20s to 4:30, so to go that 10 seconds a case slower was nice, just have a bit of a chat. So just ran once Monday, just ran once Tuesday. I did some 400 meter reps. It was 6x400, so the plan was to run them in between 68 and 70 and just have 200 meter slow jog recovery rather than the float, so not really a kind of an endurance-based kind of workout, but just more of a ticking the legs over and just getting it done. Went to the Oval. Carly's school had athletic sports today, so I knew there was spray-painted lines on there, and it was about 22 degrees up here on Tuesday, and got out of work early, and I thought, oh, I'll drive to this athletics track, and hopefully no one's doing soccer training on there, and it's all mine, and saves me going out to the back blocks out the industrial estate. And I got there and no one was there, so I was pretty stoked. And usually if no one's there at kind of 5-ish, 5:15, you're pretty right. And did my 5K warm-up and come back, and there's about 20 under 12 soccer players on this oval, like right near the like they'll bend with 100 meters to go, like, and I was just I wasn't ropeable, but I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding, like, I really want
to
just.
Did you go up to them and say, do you know who I am?
Well, I'll get to that in a second.
They already knew who he was.
I'll get to that in a second. And I was like, you know, how do I get my car? Because this industrial estate where I do the 400 sometimes only like 2Ks away. So I could have easily gotten the car and drove out there. And then a guy I used to work with who works at the same school as Carly, he was spray painting the hurdle marks or something on the track. And I saw him wave to me from the other side of the oval. So I thought, instead of jumping in my car and just bailing and snobbing him, I'll run over there and have a chat to him. And he was actually talking to the soccer coach. And I said to him, I said, you know, where were you guys 20 minutes ago? I thought I had this oval to myself. And the whole reason they were on that oval and not the actual soccer oval, which is 200 metres away, was because they had to play a final on that oval on the weekend and they wanted to get the kids used to using that oval because it's a bit bigger. And I was just like, wow, do you think I can just sneak like 6 400s? You're not really in their way too much. So I said, you reckon I can just sneak through and squeeze out a couple of 400s? And yeah, he was like, yep, no worries. The kids can just pretend you're an extra defender when you're going through the 100 meter mark there. And did the first one in lane 8. You guys ever done 400 meter reps in lane 8?
Nah,
never.
Oh, I'm just looking at my Strava picture now because you can see the lane 8 rep is on the very outside of the oval. But it's kind of weird. You nearly start at the 1,500 meter start line, and then it takes you forever to get around that last bend. So I banged one out in lane 8, and then kind of thought, nah, I'm not jogging out here. This is doing my head in. And then, yeah, just kind of had the 200 meters jog recovery, and it was just chaos running through that 100 meters to go because the kids are just kicking soccer balls, and the coach is just yelling out, freeze, everyone freeze. And you kind of like try to zigzag through these kids. And it wasn't a bad way to run some 400s because it just kind of kept me alert. And couple of side steps here and there, trying not to take out a 10-year-old kid. And yeah, it was nice. It was, as I said, the weather was good and it was a good kind of way to finish off. So I think I averaged 68s, ran a 66 in there somewhere, a 69, and most of the others were 68s and felt good. And yeah, just warmed down for 5K, warmed up for 6. So even though I only run once, still kind of getting 13 or 14K in, which was good. Wednesday morning, just got out for 17K in the morning, which was good. And then Wednesday afternoon, just been doing 25 minutes for my second run now, so kind of cutting that back a bit, which is good. And then Thursday, so today, just did 5K warm-up, and then I did a 15K progressive tempo. So the plan was to run the first 5K at 16:40, the second 5K at 16:20, and the third 5K at 15:50. And yeah, it went to plan. Had my mate Brett Sands on the bike who I was speaking about in last week's show because it was bloody windy. I woke up this morning and I was just like, I really wanted to just have a nice little confidence booster in this last session. And then I looked at the wind and thought, nah, it's going to be hard work in this wind, but he was good. He kind of took most of the wind for me and sitting on his shoulder and on his wheel and wherever the wind was trying to get me, I was doing a pretty good job of hiding behind him. And yeah, ended up running the first 5K in 16:27, the next 5 in 16:14, and the last 5 in 15:37. Felt good. Wasn't that kind of grinding out. Kind of felt pretty relaxed. Probably stepped into the first K a bit quick when I was meant to be running kind of 3:20s. I ran a 3:13 and, you know, banked probably the 7 seconds for that K right there. And yeah, heart rate was good. Kind of floating around that 160 average for the whole session. And you know, 155 at kind of that marathon pace, which was, yeah, good signs for me. And then just a warm down and another massage today and then 25 minutes tonight and ready to get on the plane. So that's my week sorted. So I'll, jog tomorrow morning because I won't do much now until Sunday. So we wanted to, I was just talking to Richard, my coach, this afternoon on the phone, and he wasn't sure about this session because it's still quite meaty, you know, 10 days out. But we just thought because we won't do a lot now, and, you know, it was always about trying to run fast but not gritting your teeth and forcing anything. So, we're happy to kind of get it done. And now I can jog tomorrow, get on the plane, jog Saturday, jog Sunday. Should be all good. Is that your pizza?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's my pizza. Yeah.
What'd you get?
Sorry about that. I got 2 pizzas. A real man eats 2 pizzas.
I heard real men eat homemade pizzas.
No, tight asses eat homemade pizza. Nah, I'm good.
That's good.
Sorry.
I was just wrapping up my week, what I'm doing for the rest of the week now, just jogging through to Monday, and I think I've maybe got a short session Monday or Tuesday when I'm over there, which would be good. So
no long run.
I'm going to do 90 minutes Sunday. That's good. The plan. Yeah. What have I just got here in front of me? Oh, no, I haven't. Yeah, 90 minutes Sunday, 12K Monday, bit of a tick over Tuesday and Thursday. That should be good. So that's when I'll hopefully run that, 90 minutes. Hopefully I can run the last, 15 or 20K of the course would be ideal.
Yeah, just that'd be good.
Jog around on a footpath. So that's all right. So we're all locked and loaded and ready to go. Got a few questions here. You ready for them?
Yep.
Do you boys have any pre-race routines? Over to you first, Brad. This is from Michael Lowe.
Not really. Actually, since Melbourne Marathon, I've gone through this thing that I buy a new pair of socks every time I'm going to run a marathon.
Brand new.
What socks do you like?
Well, it's more I just go to whatever sort of shops are close to that area, and I don't really have a particular type. I just look for something that I think I'll feel comfortable in. So that's quite a new thing that I do. Nothing really. Like, I guess just standard stuff like everyone does. Make sure you get all your stuff together the night before. I guess carb loading. I won't for this race, but normally I'm sort of, 10 grams of carbs per day for the last couple of days. Nothing really, I wouldn't say, for race day.
What do you mean? What do you mean 10 grams a day?
10 grams of carbs per kilo of body weight per day.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. So I, mate of mine was a dietitian at the AIS, and he came up with a bit of a plan for me, which I followed for Canberra, and would have followed for this, but I don't really have too much at all.
So you'll just, what happens if you can't find a good sports store? You got to just run in some Explorers or something?
I have other socks over there. So if I didn't find any, I'd just wear old ones. But for the last two marathons, I've managed to just go to shops. So, and find a pair of socks or I could buy the socks before I go. But, some new socks for race day, which I think Mona said don't wear new socks for a marathon.
Risky.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to wear exactly the same pair of socks that I wore for Berlin last year on Sock Chat.
Oh, wow.
It's been approved by Andy Allison. I sent him through a photo of my kit today with a few different colours, and, yep, we're right.
What brand are they?
Steigen, blister free.
Good.
I'm packing three pairs of Steigen. All three of the photos, actually the two photos I sent through to him were both Steigen. But I was going to try to rep some fluoro orange ones. You know the ones that you were repping with the those vapor fires? Yeah. But it just doesn't work with the grey. Well, it depends what singlet you wear.
Okay. Because that was a good colour for those shoes.
Mm, yeah, you had it. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Probably another one would be no dose before a race. Always no dose.
Yeah. Mm. No dose, yeah. I'm definitely on that bandwagon as well. That's a good one. Good. Julian, what about yourself?
Immediately before I eat a packet of shop. I mean, this is just like, this isn't superstitions or anything, but I like to eat shop these little packet of Cliff Shot but Jube things before the race. So I eat that in the morning. And then the night before, I always have pasta and pretty early. And in the week leading up, I always get a haircut as well. So I want to look fresh in the photos, like race day photos, in case I have a good race. Maybe it'll be a photo that I keep. Also, this is a bit of a weird one, but it is something that I do for every big race, maybe only twice a year. But Breed gets the wax strips out, gets rid of all my shoulder hair. So I'm a fairly hairy beast, and it's pretty painful, but I grit my teeth. And then I get this, like, body groomer out, and I take hair off legs, chest, stomach, and crutch. So I basically turn into, like, a hairless cat, like a sphinx, except for my... Like, I don't like to be freshly shaven on race day because sometimes I get irritation with that. So I've got to get all my body and facial hair correct. Even my head hair, I like to be cut. So that's my one.
You'll be a hit at the Kit Kat Club.
Well, yeah, that does. I wonder if they let you bring your own toys.
That's funny. I'm exactly the same. This was my day today. Like, booked in for a haircut. I'll often I think the last time I shaved my legs was before Albert Park, and then I've just been rolling hairy legs through to now. Like, yeah, just get the razor, or not just the electric razor out, and just take off leg hair. I haven't got much on my chest and shoulders and stuff, so I don't have to worry about that. Still waiting to go through puberty over here, but yeah, I'm with you. I like that feeling of feeling really light. I took heaps of hair off my head today, like pretty much nearly went a two all over, like got the barber to really slim me down, and you just feel light and you just feel fresh. And I'm actually annoyed that the race isn't until next Sunday, because I feel like I'm wasting this, like, superpower I've got of having no hair on for a week before the race. And I didn't trust going into some Berlin barber. I wasn't sure what I'd come out with.
Oh, yeah. Well... I'd still take my razor in case any length grows between now and then.
Oh, do you?
Get rid of it.
Yeah, right.
I might. I haven't really discussed that.
Yeah, I thought about it, but I'm like, nah, not packing that kind of stuff. Yep, nah, that's not a bad one. That's not a bad one at all. I'm trying to think what else I do pre-race. I spoke about it the other day, how I sit down and I, like, write out kind of the sessions that that give me confidence before the race. Like, that's always a good thing. Just like, yeah, nothing else really. I like racing in a brand new kit, like that I've only worn, like, I've worn the kit that I'll wear on race day once. So kind of brand new, feels good, feels light, kind of that superstition, almost feel like you're a pro pulling it out of the box and pulling it on for the first time. So brand new shorts and singlet. So yeah, you know, as I said, my socks aren't brand new because I've been rolling around in them for a year or so, but... And I guess, yeah, the socks, I know they worked for me in the past with no blisters, so go back to a trusty pair like that, not buy a pair on race day.
I haven't had any blisters my last two marathons.
True. You know, can't argue with facts. All right, next one, race day breakfast.
Well, this toast is different. Yeah, toast. I normally stick with toast.
Toast and coffee.
Yeah. Jam or honey? What do you have on it?
Yeah, either or. Yeah, honey.
Yeah, I do exactly the same. That's what my dietitian says as well, like a couple of bits of toast with honey to kind of get the glucose levels going. And I'll have a no-dose about 15, 20 minutes before the race, and a coffee probably when I wake up. I think it's a 9 o'clock start, Berlin, so you kind of got plenty of time to get that stuff sorted.
Do you go no dose only 15 minutes before?
Yeah, that was. Well, oh, sorry. When do you go?
Well, I normally have like two tablets. I might have one an hour before I start warming up, because then I find it makes me just go to the toilet so I can, you know, clear everything out. And then I'll have another one maybe 20 minutes before.
Yeah, I'll have a black coffee like an hour before. So when I've been doing most of these sessions on Saturday, or even today, like, so I was probably black coffee at 7:45, 8 o'clock, and then warming up at 8:30 an hour later. And then I'll usually jog the kind of 20 minutes to kind of loosen up the bowels a bit and just see if anything's going on down there. And then I'll pop the no-dose kind of when I'm putting my racing flats on and doing my drills and strides and stuff. So, you know, it might kick in 10 minutes into it. I don't know. I don't know, like, scientific if that's any good, but it's been working for me the last 10 weeks, so I won't be changing it come race day.
Good idea.
This one is pretty similar. This is from, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Soren, who's a runner over in Denmark. We're really stretching this all over the world here. Hi, Brady. Thanks for the absolute amazing podcast. If the next session is open to questions, I've got one here. What do you guys eat and drink the day before the marathon? Andy also asked about the race, but we've kind of the race day, but we've already said that. And how much of the stuff? Day before, boys. Who's up?
Yeah, I guess I touched on it before. So 10 grams of carbs per kilo. So, you know, generally I'm close to 60 kilos. So I'll work on sort of 600 grams of carbs and try and break it up over sort of breakfast, morning snack, lunch, afternoon snack, dinner, and maybe something before I go to bed. So I try and keep things as normal as possible. So, you know, I'll still have my Weet-Bix that I have in the mornings. But it's more like I might have a jam sandwich, you know, mid-morning with some soft drink or some lollies. So I find the key there is, you know, because 600 grams of carbs is quite a bit if you're eating things like pasta, rice and bread. So I try and supplement it with some lollies, juice, Gatorade, that sort of thing where it's really easy to get, you know, a lot of carbs in. Lunch, yes, I'll definitely have, I normally have pasta for one meal and have rice for dinner, or like all the other way around. Yeah, so that's pretty much me. And the key, I think, is to get the carbs in without feeling too bloated.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Julian?
Yeah. Yeah, getting the carbs in as simply and as sort of safely as possible. So I have like a, well, I don't know what it will be like in Berlin, but I'm going to have a bunch of oats. Oh, I normally have a bunch of like oats and maybe add in some toast to that, orange juice. Then during the day, I'll have maybe a sandwich for lunch, but I'll drink about two sports drinks over the day. So there's another kind of 70 or 80 grams of carbohydrate in those, maybe even more. And maybe a soft drink here and there. So it's basically just, I know that stuff doesn't affect me in my guts or anything. I'm not going to go out and eat some crazy stuff. And pasta the night before, and I normally have it, I try to have it pretty early. So maybe an early dinner about 6:30. So I can might have some something easy after that, like chocolate or lollies, whatever.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty similar. Like most of this stuff is stuff that I eat every day of the week. Like I don't tend to change, you know, the oats and toast and pastas and stuff like that you're talking about. It's yeah, it's pretty similar stuff that's in my diet regularly. So I'll be the same kind of pastas, toast, oats. Yeah, nothing special. Kind of, as Jess said, kind of a bit of Gatorade and stuff like that throughout there. Will you have a beer the night before, Julian?
I don't think so, actually. Like I have in the past, but the problem, like, is that it does occasionally give me gut issues, depending on the beer. So craft beers can sometimes mess with my guts more. And so, yeah, I'll probably play it safe and not have one. It's there's some that I don't really care too much about. I have a beer, but yeah, not this one. I'm gonna stay safe.
Yeah, yeah, good thinking.
I think the most important thing is to, like, eat things that you normally eat and feel comfortable and know that you can get down. Like I said, my mate designed my carb plan for me, but there was one meal there, I think a mid-morning snack, where I had, like, a jam sandwich and orange juice or something, and it was just a bit too sickly sweet. And that's the other thing, if you're having lots of that sort of sweet stuff the day before, you know that feeling where you've just had way too many gels at the back end of a race and you're just like, oh, I just can't stomach any more of that sweetness. So in that case, I said to him, look, I'm just struggling here with this jam sandwich plus something else that's sweet. He said, well, just change it up, you know, like just have two jam sandwiches and forget the sweet drink, or just something that's got carbs in it, but you know you can get down and won't feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Next one comes in from Chris. One thing I'd like to know is, what does everyone's warm up before the race look like? When do you start it? How far do you go? What sort of effort? Do you do any strides? Other than that, I'd pretty be keen. Oh, breakfast. We've already answered that one as well. Or does anyone have a gel before the race is the second part of his question.
I don't have a gel. I have those shot blocks instead. Oh, they're not even they're not called shot blocks. They're like cliff shots or something. So that's my poison before the event. Like gels, they're not the nicest things to be eating, like at the best of times. So before, if I don't have to eat them, I won't. And the warm-up involves jogging. So I might jog for 2K max, I reckon, very max, and then probably don't need to do strides, but I do them anyway just because it's a routine that I have before workouts and before shorter races. So I just try to keep the same routine, and that does involve strides, but just a shorter jog.
Yeah, Brad, before a marathon warm-up?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've ever really got the marathon warm-up correct. I don't think it's as important as it is for, say, a track race. But a couple of my marathons, like my first marathon was in the snow. So we were trying to just minimize the amount of time that we were out in the elements. So in Japan, there was this 50-meter section underneath the grandstand, and myself and all the Japanese were in like single file for 10 minutes, just going up and back, up and back, up and back. So it was hardly even a jog. It was more of a shuffle. And then I guess before Canberra Marathon, it was raining before the start. So, and I only had my race shoes on, so I didn't want to get out there and get wet too much. So I only did sort of 10 minutes. So yeah, I've never really focused too much on the warm up, but anywhere between 10 and 15, which is a lot less than what I'd probably do for a track race.
Yeah,
and very slow as well. It doesn't need to be very quick.
Do you ever put a gel down before the race?
I have in previous marathons, but I haven't for the last two. Yeah, I just figure by the end of the marathon, I sort of feel a bit sick with all the gels. I will just have maybe some Gatorade half an hour before.
Yeah,
which is I guess the same sort of thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. No gels for me before, bit of Gatorade and stuff. And then, yeah, I think for Berlin last year, I kind of jogged to the start line, which was about 2 or 3 Ks, just super slow, like easy, kind of like 5:15s, and just moved the legs. And because I was kind of locked in that fast runner section last year, I didn't have the opportunity to do any strides. But, you know, I might stride out for 20 seconds or so a couple of times this time. But I think the first 5K... It was the first 3 or 4K. It's almost a bit of a warm-up anyway. Like, you can kind of get to marathon pace. You know, our marathon pace isn't, you know, super hot and super fast. So you can kind of get to it over 3 or 4K pretty easy without kind of busting your guts. So, and it's probably not a bad way of just settling things down a bit at the start if you need to take 2 or 3K to warm up rather than going out at, you know, 3:10-kilometre pace and blowing up a bit. Yeah, so that's that for me as well. This is a good question. This one comes from David. What's on your watch faces on race day, and will it change?
Well, yeah, that is a good question.
It is.
I think I'm going to have time of day, but I might just have a stopwatch. So I can basically have a look down at certain splits like that will be relevant to me. Like if I look down at 23K, I'm not going to have any idea what that that time means. So you're not going to be getting all this, well, feedback, I guess. But so I'm going to know where I'm at probably like 1K, 3K, 5K, 10K. The next will be about 20K or a half marathon. Then maybe at 30K, I'll have an idea where I need to be. And after that, the watch ain't helping you much. It's all about getting to the finish as quick as you can. So I'll have it on stopwatch, I think, and maybe just look at those splits. So 1K to make sure, hey, this is okay. I'm not running 3:10s or I'm not running 3:30s. 5K, I'll probably look down to go, all right, settle. Or, okay, you can move up a bit. And then 10K to get an idea, I guess, how the first 10's gone. And then at halfway, I don't know whether there'll be a clock out there or not, but if not, I'll have it on my watch. And that'll just be out for interest's sake. It probably won't change what I'm doing. And then, yeah, I don't even know what 30K should be for what I'm running. So anything after that will be a little irrelevant.
Just racing.
Just exactly. It's good. Last two times I've done it, it's worked. 10K worked for me. So it's what I'm going to do.
Brad?
I thought the wise man wasn't going to wear a watch at all.
Yeah, I'll dig that audio up from a few weeks back.
How are you going to get it to Strava if you don't wear a watch?
He said he'd wear a watch, but he wouldn't look at it. Remember back in the early days, he was talking me into doing parkrun without a watch and all that stuff?
Yeah, because I think it was more about, I'm just going to race and beat as many dudes as I can.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what the quote was. He's turned soft the last 10 weeks.
I just don't want to be dangerous. I know you're going to be around doing some dumb shit, so I have to stay away from that.
Putting in surges through drink stations, I reckon.
Yeah, I got to ignore you, like, doing silly, making mistakes. I just got to run my own race.
I'm going to be throwing Navy gags at you at the 10K mark, I reckon.
You don't know any Navy gags.
Yeah, weren't you in the Navy?
Yeah, but you don't know any.
I'll start Googling them. That's why I've got 14 hours of a flight to Doha to do tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
I might just try to rattle your cage in the race, I reckon. Brad, what are you doing on your watch?
For this race, I'll just have it on what I normally do when I go for a training run, which is the first screen will just be overall time, distance, average pace, and then the second screen is, I don't know, lap pace and lap time. But for serious marathons, I generally try and get a split every 5K. So I'll just have, I guess, lap time for that 5K and average pace. And then I guess just keep an eye on how close that 5K beeps to the actual, you know, 5 and 10K, 15K markers on the course. And I just find, you know, if I know I have to run, say, 16:40 per 5K, it's pretty easy then to just, you know, run through, get a split at 5K and go, okay, I'm up by 10 seconds or I'm down by 5 and sort of, you know, do it that way. Better than the watch beeping every kilometre. So,
will you look at, you know how we did it at Gold Coast, would you look at your watch every time you pass a kilometre marker though, your stopwatch?
No. Like, so I guess the difference between racing and pacing is that, like, we're being paid to do a job. So it was so much more important that I actually hit the right splits. Whereas when you're racing, you're obviously, you want to hit certain splits, but you have to go on feel. And nobody's paying me to race out there. So, I can run as hard or as slow as I want. So, so I was looking at the watch a lot when we're pacing, obviously.
Yeah. And you reckon, so you would have the watch set up to beep every 5K, even though it might measure out and differently, instead of you actually manually hitting lap split every time you go past a 5 or 10 or 15?
Yeah, actually, sorry. That's what I do. I take lap splits off and I do it manually every 5K because, as you said, it can be out. The Garmin and the K markers are off and out, and I prefer to go off the K markers.
Yeah, you can't go getting to the finish line and going, hang on, me Garmin says this is the finish line here. I'm not running the last 600 metres.
Yeah, and the good thing about 5K splits is, you know, for example, if it's 16:40, you don't have to worry about what you're doing each K. You just go, all right, well, I just have to hit 16:40. And then it'll reset, and then you just focus on, all right, I've got to hit 16:40 for the next 5, and then just take stock of where you're at each 5K.
Yeah, I'll do exactly the same thing. That's what I've been practicing in training, like breaking things into 5Ks and just, concentrating for 16, 17 minutes. And then I think with the drink stations there as well, it's kind of a good time to see your split, grab a drink, kind of go to the next one and do that 8 times and then run the last 2K as fast as you can. And just dictate. So I'll run with a stopwatch on and I'll manually hit the split button every 5K to answer that question. Andy Allison's in good form with a couple of questions here. First one, do you and Julian have a bet or anything riding on who finishes in front of the other?
Well.
Have we?
No, obviously not. But I reckon it would be pretty cool if the guy who finished in front was the guy who bought the beers for the evening. That way, whoever finishes behind has something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's not bad.
Now, it benefits me because you're the clear favourite here. So this is benefiting me.
I'm not a favourite.
In both ways.
No.
I could still run well. You could run really well.
Playing the underdog card, I reckon. Is that what you're doing?
It's not a. I'm not playing anything. It's just. That's how it is.
Yeah. Nah, but in getting ill serious, though, like, I don't want to. I'm not. You know, this, not no offence, but I'm not going over there to try and beat Julian Spence from Ballarat. Like, it's a long way to go to the other side of the world to have a head-to-head showdown between two guys who are on a podcast. Like, it's going to be cool to see who does finish in front of the other, but I reckon we'll be racing just as many Europeans and Kenyans and lead females as possible, as much as we'll be racing each other. And it probably will, you know, there'll be stages where I'll be looking over my shoulder wondering where you are, or I'll be looking ahead wondering how far ahead you're getting, and I think it will bring out the best in both of us.
Yeah, I'll like it as a reference point. It's good to see familiar stuff when you're out there, like, and you'll be a familiar face, and we've run together against each other and together for Geelong a lot, so I hope you don't do anything stupid that makes me...
Why do you think you're going to do something stupid? This is the question next.
I'm just wondering, like, I'm just hoping you don't. So, like, because I've not got my pace showing, if you go out like a crazy man, I think, holy shit, we were aiming for similar times and that's where he is. It just makes me question everything. So I want to be able to, I guess, get some... base myself off you a little bit.
Yeah. Have you picked a time you want to run yet? Like, have you got something you're aiming for?
I've got certain levels of happiness for different times, I reckon. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, like an A goal, B goal, C goal kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if I have a good day, I think I can run this. If I have a shit day, then I hope it doesn't become this.
No, 100% I agree with you. And I think it'd be good, as you said, like having two familiar faces. And even with Josh last year, it was good kind of in those early stages talking to each other and just almost using each other as a bit of a sounding board to, you know, how you feel, and this pace is good, we don't need to go any faster, like, let's just settle down. Look, I remember saying those kind of things to each other last year through kind of 15-20K. So I think that will come in handy. And I think, you know, get aggressive together against a lot of people would be good in the second half to be able to pull in a few blokes and chuck in a few surges and drop it. It would be good if we're in a massive pack and we just drop the pack at 38K and go and have a race ourselves. That'd be a perfect situation. Good for the listeners. Good for the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, Julian, when you say you have different levels of happiness, what is your time range from being like as elated as you possibly could be to being slightly disappointed? Like, what's the time gaps between those two feelings?
Asking the tough questions, Croker.
4 minutes? I reckon about 4 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
What's the numbers at either side of the 4 minutes?
So I'm going to pick somewhere around maybe 218 high, 219 low to 223.
Yeah, it's around that. 218, I just thought 218 to 222. And if I have a very good day, like one of those days that you have once in your life, then possibly I could run 218. And if I have a really shit day, it can blow way out. Like there's no limits to how bad the day can be. That can happen. It's happened before. But I would still like to walk away from there with a PB and a significant one, because I've come into it with the best lead up of training I've ever had, and it's the fastest course in the world. So, I mean, if you're sitting here now, there's a high likelihood that you'll run fast. That's it, with all those factors. If someone else was looking in and going, let's look at your training. Oh, you did all the things you wanted to do. Which course are you going to be on? Oh, you're at Berlin. How's the field this year? Well, it's loaded with guys around your pace. Like, there's not really any excuses left after that.
No, and if you just look at what you've done in the past, if you can go and run Great Ocean Road solo in 224, like going through the marathon in 224, Like, if you're on a flat course with people around you, like, it's got to be worth minutes. So
yeah, I was having this discussion tonight with a mate I was running with, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just hard to know how many minutes.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
And then that's where it comes down to, yeah, just so much can happen in the marathon, but you just got to keep telling yourself that if I have the same day that I had at Great Ocean Road, if I have that day in Berlin, then it's got to be 2 or 3 minutes. So it has to be at least.
Yeah, I think it's more than 2 or 3 minutes. Like that place, is a lot harder.
So 2 or 3 minutes for the course, a couple of minutes, you know, the fact that you got people to run with.
Fit. And then, I haven't been this fit before, so that's probably where I'm getting the most confidence from, the training.
Mm, good responses.
And given the same question, Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm banking on, I think my, oh, sorry, I do know. Like, I'd be, I don't know what's the fastest I can run. Like, I'm not capping myself at saying, you know, my very best is going to be 2:19 or 2:18 or anything like that, because, like, this is still unknown territory. Like, this is the first marathon I've ran with drinks. Like, it's, that's a whole big factor that I'm hoping is going to help me out a lot, actually having me drinks and taking in gels and not falling apart from kind of 30K onwards. I'm kind of really, I've got a lot of respect for that last 12K, and I'm hoping the drinks is the difference. I'm really pleased with how fit I am. Like, it's every session, every bit of the preparation for me has gone really good. Like, I had a tiny knee niggle where I missed like 2 days, but out of a, you know, a 12-week block, I'm very happy. You know, training on paper, 3:18K pace for, you know, 30K in that 5x5K the other week with 5K worth of floating, those big kind of 30K sessions with the kickdown. I've done a lot of work at marathon pace or longer, so I don't think, you know, 30K at 3:18 pace should absolutely destroy me. Like, I'd be confident if the race was, you know, 36 or 37K that I could nearly hold that pace. But as you guys are saying, like, the marathon's just a beast and so much can go wrong. And once you start losing, you know, 20, 25 seconds a K for 3 or 4K, there goes the space of a good time. But I'd be disappointed if I didn't PB, like 2:21:53. I definitely want to come back to Australia a lot quicker marathoner than that. It'd be great to run under that 2:19 to say that you'd run a qualifying time for the Commonwealth Games. Not that it's going to be good enough to get yourself picked if you run a 2:18 high, but, you know, going forward, it'd be good to kind of know you're heading in that direction to hit times and get your name in the hat. I don't know. Like, I feel like if I have a good day, it could be amazing. But, yeah, I'm very cautious that a lot can go wrong. And even guys like, you know, I remember the shape that Josh went into Berlin last year. Like, he was doing some amazing stuff on Strava and, you know, raced relatively good and didn't blow out kind of huge at the end. And that was still just a 2:20:30. So not just on paper going into it, I thought he might have been quicker than that. And I probably thought I was quicker than 2:21:50 last year as well. So, just anywhere in between those times I'd be happy with. But just doing everything right. Like, if I try my best and I don't do anything stupid, and I, you know, run as hard as I can, I'll be happy. And if that gets me 2:18 or 2:20 or 2:22, I'll be proud of the efforts. That makes sense?
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, that was another conversation we had tonight, is that I've gone into races before where I've had good training, but I've run poorly. And there's other races that I've gone in with really good training, and with really poor training, and I ran well. And that's the confusing bit. That's the bit that there's a bit of unknown in there.
Yeah. I probably haven't had massive variations. Like, my training generally tells me how I'm tracking, but, like, yeah, I just, just wait and see. But yeah, just that process, just do the process properly, pick up your drinks at the right drink stations, don't do anything stupid in the first 25K, and really, it's not rocket science. It's putting one foot in front of the other at a pace you think you can run 42K. What I get is what I get, I guess. Good discussion, boys.
Yeah, like, you've both had really good prep, so you should go in with a lot of confidence. So I guess my only advice, Brady, would be early on, just don't be a slave to the watch. Like, if you're feeling a bit ordinary, losing 5 seconds over a 5K isn't going to hurt you. You can make it up, you know, and you're going to have rough patches. And I think we touched on it last podcast was when you're doing like a 5K solid and you have that K float, it's amazing how much you recover by just backing off 5 or 10 seconds a K. So if you're having a bit of a rough patch, rather than push, because that's what, you know, to hold the splits that you want to hold, dropping 5 or 10 seconds, as long as you're still feeling comfortable, you can make it up when you start to feel good again. So that would be my only advice, is just don't get too caught up with exact 5K splits. Like, yeah, be around the mark, but just keep a little bit in reserve.
What about if they're a bit quick though, Brad? Like, so let's say I roll through the first 5K in like 16:15, it feels like I'm jogging.
Well, if it feels super easy, then don't slow down. But it's more the other way. It's more if you're starting to struggle a little bit and you realize that you're 1 or 2 seconds down, where if you just hold the pace that you're going at because you're feeling okay, that's probably better than trying to just make up that 2 seconds. It can just, you know what it's like, just push it over the edge in the marathon.
Yeah. It's probably more that I'm just trying to settle. Like, I, you know, I'd rather run a 16:15 from 30 to 35 rather than run a 16:15 from 5 to 10 feeling fresh and then run at a 16:45 from, if that kind of makes sense. Like, I think I'll be, I'd like to look at the watch a bit in the early stages to ensure that, you know, because 16:30 is 2:19 pace. Like, so, you know, I probably don't need to be going any quicker than that. I'd love to go at 2:19 pace and get to 35K and finish strong, rather than kind of working at 2:18 low pace and getting to 35K and going, show's over here, I'm going to lose 15 seconds a K for the next 7K.
Yeah, well, I guess the risk is, as you said, what if I go through 16:15 and I feel like I'm jogging? Well, really, the first 5K, even if you're slightly faster than goal marathon pace, that's still going to feel really comfortable.
Mm.
And so that's the risk, you know. Coming from track background, the pace for the first 5K of a marathon at goal pace or even slightly faster than goal pace is going to feel really comfortable. But it's what happens at 30K.
Mm. And that's something probably I think Julian's more prepared for, like those big sessions where he was kind of, you know, 35Ks in his legs and he's working at marathon pace. Like, I think I did the one kick down long run. I've probably done more work at 20K quicker than marathon pace, but I think he's probably prepared better from 36K onwards than I have.
We'll see.
On paper, I guess, if that makes sense, but still, the marathon's a beast. We'll see what happens. Can you both put on race day kits for the fans to vote on? This is the next question. Race day kits.
Is that Andy Allison again?
Yeah.
It can be done, but
can you send me one?
I will do it. I'll do it.
We'll get one out before the race day. Brad, you got your kit organised?
It was just going to be normal training gear, but maybe I have to go to a bit of an effort now.
Have you got matching shorts and stuff, Julian? Have you got all Nike the whole way through?
I got them printed up, so I do have shorts and singlet all printed. Nike.
Yeah. Did you end up getting those shorts, those new Elite ones?
We have them in the store, so I just grabbed a pair and I actually organised kit for all the guys going over. So did Bree. Bree organised the kit, and so the big group of Geelong and mainly Geelong, maybe a couple of Melbourne people as well, wearing all the same kit. So we'll get a photo at the start line, and it's going to look pretty cool. Probably go to the bar afterwards dressed up.
Does it all say Running Company Ballarat on it?
No, the other ones have Clifton Hill from the running company, Clifton Hill.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So there was going to be a bit of Ballarat love in Germany.
Yeah, right. Ballarat love. I think Andy sent this one through. Oh, no, it could be. We can all answer this. Given your current form and your current headspace, how aggressive are you guys going to be? Have you and your coaches discussed a more aggressive race strategy given the positions you are in right now? I think we kind of answered that. I haven't spoken to my coach yet. I spoke to him today about getting on the plane and stuff like that, but I haven't spoken. He hasn't given me splits or anything yet. We'll talk about that on Wednesday or Thursday.
What was his advice? Use the handrail?
Yeah, no, like it was just, no, I just meant general, like, have a good flight. I'll talk to you when you get there.
What should I do when the movie, do I need to turn the movie up?
What happens if I push this button? you idiot. I've read that one. Nutrition and hydration plans for the long haul flight. Anything different? Compression garments.
Yeah, I'm going to wear some socks, compression socks, comfortable tracksuit pants, and that's it for me. Oh, lots of water.
Drop a couple of those dodgy sleeping tablets that you take.
Yeah, a lot of those things. I wouldn't even know I was on a plane.
You'll probably get arrested coming out of customs or something. Brad, do you got any tips?
I won't be real focused on that this time around.
Have a couple of beers?
I won't do that. I will be having a sleeping tablet just to get the flight over and done with. Tracksuit pants for me. Probably would have wore tights if I was racing. And we got a few stops on the way. Like, we're Canberra to Perth, Perth to Dubai, and Viv's got Qantas Club, so we can go into the lounges there and have a shower along the way, which will probably hopefully help us sort of freshen up a little bit on the trip.
Qantas Club, eh? Just high rolling.
Yeah.
All right, fellas.
What does she do for work?
She works in like the marketing area of the Building Industry Skills Council. It's not really work related that much. But
yeah, okay.
Cool. Boys, I reckon that's it. This will be the final time before we go out there and have a race at the marathon. Thanks for giving up all this time. It's quite a couple of hours that you've sacrificed over the journey. Did you get that nice message I sent to you today? One of the listeners wrote.
Very good feedback
coming from the listeners, which is it's good. So, on behalf of myself, because this was my crazy idea a couple of weeks ago, thank you very much for agreeing to come on. I actually read that original email that I sent to you the other day. It must have popped up in my sent items or something, and it sounded way more professional than what we've ended up doing. But maybe I bluffed you guys to sign up then. But thanks for being on the journey the last couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing you guys in person. I'm looking forward to getting bagged out by Julian when he's actually standing in front of me. That should be good. It'd be good. You guys have never met face-to-face, which is also interesting, true?
No, he's just right past me with 100 to go in a 5K race. That's about it. That's as close as we've got.
Dog just sat on you the whole way.
One zip about to become two zip, hopefully.
There's no hopefully. thanks for putting it on, Brady. And also thanks for just letting me sort of tag along for the last 6 weeks. I've been like a bit of a passenger, but it's been a pretty rough patch. But meeting up with you guys every week for a chat has been a form of therapy for me. So I guess as much as sometimes it's hard to sort of sit and talk running when I haven't been running, I think it's done me more good than harm. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, I agree, mate. Thanks for sharing. Everyone goes through injury, so I think pretty brave of you to document it firsthand week in, week out. And I think there's many people that can relate to this. And I'll probably end up listening back in 5 or 6 years' time and get a few giggles out of it, I'm sure. Not the injury.
The amount of people who listen to the podcast is amazing. Like,
it's about 2,000 people a week.
And it seems like they're all in Ballarat, like, or Norway or Denmark or something. But the amount in Ballarat are pretty high because everyone sort of comes in and has conversations about the podcast, and we chat about how their thoughts on everything, whether it's Brad, like, getting injured, they're like, oh shit, here's what I reckon he should be doing and all this sort of stuff. So everyone gets into it. It's really good.
Yeah, that's been good.
It's been a learning experience too. Like, I reckon it's going to help me with my own training and my own coaching, just to sort of see what you guys do it and how you do it. And I've appreciated like bouncing ideas off you, even if it's not on the podcast, through the message group that we have. If I've ever had a question, I ask a couple of guys who who give me honest feedback, not just pump you up. They actually tell you what they think, which is important, I reckon. Yeah,
I agree. I think that's having people to soundboard stuff off, and and even, you know, justifying sessions and actually thinking yourself, why am I doing this stuff? Because I've got to explain it to Julian and Brad on Monday night. So it just gives everything a purpose, which has been good. And I think it's something that people don't do. A lot of people just go out the door and run and don't really know what they're doing. So I think the listeners can get a lot of value out of listening to this show, and obviously that's why they're downloading it each week. Rightio.
Yep.
Let's go run a marathon in Berlin. What were we going
to
say, Brad?
And then look forward to Bound for Biwa.
Bound for Biwa. Julian signed up for Tokyo.
He's not confirmed yet.
Aren't you confirmed, Julian? I thought you were right.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm sorted. I paid my money.
You sorted. Not happening. Yeah, no.
Do Biwa the week after.
I might come for a look.
I've got a few ideas, don't worry. I've got some stuff in the works. It won't be the last we hear of you two characters.
Nice one. All right, boys, safe travels.
Thanks, fellas. I'll see you in
See you over there.
See you, boys. Bye. Thanks. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.